All right, take your Bible, please. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read just two verses tonight. We'll read them all in unison, verses 13, verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And again, let's read both of these in unison together tonight. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Ready? Here we go. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you tonight. Lord, help us to put aside all other thoughts and all other cares. Help us to focus on the truth that you have for us tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to help you tonight in a very unusual and special way. I'm going to use an illustration here towards the beginning. I've asked a couple people to help me. I'm going to ask a couple more probably here in just a moment. But I want you to understand, we misteach this passage an awful lot. Most of the time you'll hear people say, forget your past and go forward. That's not really what God is telling us here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Many people, though, live in the past. God does not want us living in the past either. God doesn't want us living what was and trying to recreate what we once had. That's not what he wants. Can I tell you something? Once time is spent, it can never be spent again. all three of my kids are grown. I'm enjoying them as adults. Are there times I miss them at home? Not very often. Yeah, I do. I can't tell you I never do, but I'm enjoying watching them become adults as well. I'm enjoying them in their adult years. And by the way, even if I could, I don't want to go back changing diapers. Well, I didn't change them the first time. But I don't want to go back to those years ever again. You say, why? I'm getting too old for that. Number one, that's why God gives them to you when you're not smart enough to know what you got getting yourself into. You know, if you didn't have them puppies till you're in your 50s, you'd never have them. Because you're smart enough to know that's not something you should have done. People rob themselves of the present and the future because they live in the past. Or they mess up their future because they're not looking back at the past the right way. Now, you say, that sounds like a lot of double talk. Let me explain it to you this way. Now, I don't know how else to illustrate this better, but let's take... Everybody look to your left, which is that way. It's right to me, or behind you three, all right? Or four, five, six people, however many. This auditorium is so screwed up how it's situated, but it is what it is. If life is traveling this direction, okay? If we're all going this direction in life, and can I tell you something? We're all spinning on the globe going the same direction at the same amount of time. Mom got older tomorrow. It's her birthday. But guess what? We're all getting older at the same rate. Yes. She was hatched before some of us and after some of us. Well, after some of you. She's older than me. Can I tell you something? We're all spinning in the same direction. We're all going through life and it's passing by us at the same rate. Do you know that Fred's not getting any older than I am any faster? He just started his journey 100 years before I did. Now, we're all going in this same direction. Now, I'm going to teach you a truth tonight, but I need some help. Let's see here. Brother June, can I borrow you? I need you to just stand up and turn around and face that direction. You don't have to stand in the corner this time. Let's see here. I'm going to be right here. Let me see. Malachi, why don't you come on up here? I need you to stand right about here. Face Brother June. Asa, why don't you stand up right next to your seat there.
That way your mom can slap you upside the head when she needs to. Now, we're all going through life at the same rate, correct? Now, Brother June is a generation ahead of me, almost. I represent a different generation. Malachi is a generation behind me, and for all intents and purposes, we'll let Asa represent a generation behind him. Everybody understand that? Now, watch this. The Bible says we're to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That means we're all going which direction? That way. Can I tell you something? When he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. In the scope of life, the past is in front of you. He's lived more life than I've lived. I've lived more life than he has. And he has lived more life than he has. So we forget that which is behind us and reach ahead to that which is before us. Everybody doing okay? Here's what happens. The average Christian lives, oh, I want to be back here with this one. Or I want to be back here with this one, and you ruin your life because you're going the wrong direction. My Bible says, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth in the things which are before. See, we get this all messed up. We think that means going this direction. That's not what God said. All right, you all may be seated for right now. I'm going to use you again later. So remember where you were. Now, God does not say, turn around to help the generation behind you. Don't try to relive your life in the next generation coming up. That's why you got 50 and 60 year old hippies riding Harley motorcycles thinking they're 20 years old again. To me, one of the funniest things in the world is a guy that's got no hair on top and he's got a ponytail that long riding a motorcycle. I'm thinking, good Lord. I was at the hospital the other day. Cross my heart and hope Brother Jim dies. There was a lady there, had to be 75 years old, with a miniskirt and high heels on. I wanted to ask her to pull her hose up because they were wrinkled and found out it was just her legs. I mean, it was bad. Can I tell you something? I know you shouldn't have said that, right, preacher? Just add it to the list. Can I tell you something? There was somebody who was in their 70s, tried to live like they were 15 or 20. That's somebody that was trying to go back a couple generations to live what was. Believe me, you can't do that. That is just corrupt. Amen? Now, we're all guilty from time to time of turning around to go back. God says we're to reach forth unto the things which are before us. That which goes before us is that which has already passed through where we are. Stand up for a second, Brother June. Brother June's probably nearly 15 years older than me, I'm guessing. I'll be 50. I think you're getting near that 65 mark if he's not there already. Now, may I say this? He's passed through 15 years more than I have. That means he's before me. Now, can I stand up back here for a second? How old are you? 15? Good night. I'm 35 years older than him. Wait a minute. You're 50 years older than him. You're not supposed to be turning around trying to live life through him. You're supposed to turn this way, live life through me and through him. We've been down the road a lot farther than you have. We know what's between here and there, and he knows what's between there and there. God says, don't turn around living that way. Reach forth unto that which is gone before you. Wow. You may have a seat. Thank you. Can I tell you something? Too many of us try to turn around and go back and live what was. You'll never go back and live what was.
Your little babies don't stay little babies. They become big babies. And they get married and become somebody else's baby. That's the way it goes. And then they start having babies. And then you got grandbabies that don't care about your babies. You want the grandbabies. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to live in the past. We live the past by reaching forth into what the past has already lived through. Now, let me help you with something. I'm going to give you three points tonight, and then I'm going to be done. Number one, follow the example in wisdom of the ones farthest ahead. Follow the wisdom and example of those farthest ahead. Asa, stand up over there. You know what the wise young man's going to do? He's going to look to somebody that's 45 years older than him, 44 years older than him. He's going to look at somebody that's almost 60 years older than him and say, I'm going to listen to somebody that's been all the way down the road. Malachi, jump back up here for a second. He's only a little farther down the road. Now, he could help you a little bit, but he hasn't been an adult yet. You're going to be wiser listening to your preacher than your brother. Trust me on that one. There's going to be times somebody's going to be older than you, like Brother June, you ought to listen to. I think Brother Ron's your Sunday school teacher. He's older than Noah. All right? You ought to listen to a guy that's, he's my age. Shut up, big man. How many years ago did you pass that? I'm reaching ahead, not behind, amen? Wait a minute. Yes, you could learn some wisdom here. You're going to learn a whole lot more wisdom here. And in some ways, you'll learn a whole lot more wisdom right here. Yes, sorry, sir. I didn't mean to shock you there. Can I tell you something? Too many of us want to go back and try to live back here. Have a seat.
Follow the example and wisdom of the ones farthest ahead. Learn to go seek counsel. And I'm not saying this because I'm your pastor. I'm saying this because I love you. Learn to get advice, not tell somebody what you're going to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can come tell me what you're going to do, and I'll agree with you whether I agree with it or not. Because if you come tell me, I'm not going to try to sit there and convince you otherwise. Amen. If I think you're about to do something majorly wrong or immoral, I'll tell you. But I have people all the time come tell me what they're going to do, and then they say, what do you think? It's too late. You've already decided. I talked to somebody in the last week, and they said, well, I was going to come talk to you, but I haven't made my decision yet. I said, well, the time to come seek advice is before you make a decision, so you can make a decision, not come tell me what your decision is.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. Sorry. I don't think I'm God. But I think I've been through more in life than most people in this room.
Yes, sir.
I've been dealing with people a long time.
Amen.
And I don't mean this arrogantly. There's probably not a human in this room that's dealt with as many people as I've dealt with.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Especially when it comes to decision making.
Amen.
I don't try to play God. But I think we ought to seek wisdom. Now, that means this. Don't just seek their counsel, watch how they live. We're copying the wrong generation. Let's bring it down into churches. Churches are copying the wrong generation.
Yes, that's right.
Churches are copying the modern generation. Let's get all the fancy screens and all the flashy platforms and let's have a show instead of having preaching. The average Baptist church is now a college Bible theology classroom and not an old-fashioned camp meeting. And we wonder why we're not seeing lives change and people getting saved like they used to. I can't see Billy Sunday getting up and preaching with a screen. He'd have busted that puppy.
Yes, sir.
I know this. Lester Roloff would have called it of the devil. I know this. I heard Jack Hyles say, we ain't having one of those in my church. We're not going the modern way. He said, we need old-fashioned camp meeting. We don't need modernism.
That's right.
Can I tell you something? We're copying the wrong generation. I love it when some of these wiggle when they walk preachers, these little goody two-shoes come up to me and say, well, this is the 21st century. I have a standard answer. Good. Do you know what year it is in the 21st century? And I always say, I find nowhere in the Bible that the Bible changes with the century you're in.
That's right.
Well, you have to do something to reach the modern generation. Yeah, God gave it to us over 2,000 years ago. It's called door-to-door, knock on doors, tell people how to get saved, go soul winning, whether it builds your church or not. I happen to know this. Soul-winning churches are building churches.
Yes, sir.
Non-soul-winning churches may have a big crowd, but a big crowd doesn't mean it's a building church.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
That means this. We're not supposed to copy this generation. We're supposed to go back to that which is before us.
Amen.
And follow it. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. and by the way, I'm not saying a church that has a screen and they put their sermons up is of the devil. Okay? But we're not having one, just so you know. I believe church ought to be a preaching place as well as an instructional place. But if you can't listen to instruction, we need to retrain the instructor and the instructed. I never find people that leave our church unsure of what I said. Say, why? We teach it and preach it in such a way, it's pretty understandable.
Yes, sir.
As I was telling one of my dad's nurses yesterday, we put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf so everybody can reach it. I said, you know, it's kind of fun in a hospital to say, our church is a hospital, not a museum. They finished the statement for me. Sick people come and get help. I said, exactly. You ought to see the light bulb switch in a nurse's head when they say that. I said, a sermon's a greasy wrench, not a college thesis. I said, I'm a little different. That stuff doesn't mix real well. I said, people need their hearts changed, not their head. If you change the heart, the head will follow. So you need to listen. By the way, get the best advice. And please, some may misrepresent what I'm about to say, but I got to say it as your pastor. I don't see how a pastor in a different state can advise you better than the man that lives in the same town with you.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Region?
That's right.
I don't care who it is. I believe in going to your pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
I believe in seeking pastor in a local way.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? A wise pastor isn't going to counsel you from that far away without seeking my advice first.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I listen to the older people that have gone before me to find out what they did that didn't work real well. I listen to those that have made mistakes and I watch those that succeeded. I copy that which is successful, and I don't copy that which failed.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Yes.
The purpose of history is to study it so that you find out what did work and copy it, and find out what did not work and don't copy it.
Amen.
That's why the liberals have rewritten the history books so that history, now, socialism is good and capitalism is bad. Everybody doing okay? Listen to the warnings of those that have gone before you. Young people, Malachi, if the preacher says, I don't think you ought to do something like that, are you sure? That ought to be a red flag, flashing light saying, ding, 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 ding. Ask a question. Why doesn't that work? It's not because I hate your guts. It's not because I want to be mean to you. I've probably made that mistake several times in my life. Don't do that. There's a story in the Bible in 1 Kings about a man named Rehoboam. He was one of Solomon's sons. Rehoboam took the throne after Solomon died. And the Bible says that he was trying to decide what kind of leader to be. And he said, should I follow the advice of my dad and the older generation? And they said, you ought to ease up on the people and take the burdens away and speak kindly to them. And all of his college buddies and his young guys around him said, no, get harder. You'll get more money out of them. Tax them more. Sounds like a bunch of Democrats. Tax them more. Make it harder on them. And the Bible says that Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old man and took the counsel of the young men. And we wonder why the kingdom divided. Somebody that has been down the road longer than you knows where not to go.
Yes, sir.
I learned a long time ago, if my dad looked at me and said, you sure you want to do that? That was a kind way of saying, you're about to really screw up. Yeah. I remember hearing a couple of my bosses say, you sure you want to try that? Yeah. They might say, I don't think I'd do it that way. Well, I can make it work. You may not have made it work, but I'll make it work. Yeah, famous last words. Watch this, y'all. It's not going to work. Say why? Because somebody's already made that mistake. Why not listen to somebody that's made the mistake? I'm going to teach you a very profound statement. The fool said experience is the best teacher. Somebody else's experience is. You know, I don't have to go out and get drunk to find out drinking alcohol is stupid.
Amen. That's right.
I'll take your word for it.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do drugs to find out that's not real good.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's good.
Well, you can't help somebody unless you've experienced it. You're an idiot.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Well, you just don't know how I feel. I don't have to know how you feel if I know what the answer is.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. We're about to get tougher. I counseled a pastor today. Had a pastor call me from a distant state. Called me today. He's got a counseling situation. He's at the end of his rope. I told him to tie a knot and jerk a knot. Jerk it real hard, amen. He needed some advice. Do you know what I did, Brother June? I've been through what he's been through 100 times. I said, let me tell you what, stand up for a second. Let me tell you what Brother Hiles taught me and that I have used in my ministry. And I sat there for about 15 minutes and told him what my pastor, Brother Hiles, taught me many years ago. He said, it's right there in front of my face. You're right. I didn't teach him what I thought. I taught him what, pardon me, the old man knew that taught me so that I could teach a younger man.
That's good.
Amen.
Now, Brother Hiles would have been 90. He's an old man, all right? He's in heaven, all right? But I taught him something that the generation before me taught me that was the most successful at it of any human I know. I didn't tell him what I thought. I tell him what worked from the generation before me.
Yes, sir.
And told him where I got it. Thank you, Brother June. Say, what is that? I kept going the same direction. I didn't say, well, why don't you send them to a Bill Gothard seminar? Why don't they take some classes? Lord have mercy. Fundamentalists are as stupid as the world. We think everything, the answer to everything's education. We're worshiping our own minds. Every once in a while, you need the man of God to get up and kick you in the seat of the britches and slap you real good and hard.
Yes,
now, not physically slap you, but slap you with truth, like I did this morning.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
This morning's sermon I preached in a nice way, but it was a pretty hard sermon. I counseled a pastor today, taught him what the generation before taught me, and was more successful at it than any human being that I know. Guess what? He'll become successful by the generations that went before him.
Amen.
He's pointing the right direction.
Amen.
I didn't go back and seek the advice of somebody my age or younger. I went to the old men that knew what they were doing. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I don't listen to much preaching of somebody my age. I listen to the old generation.
I listen to J. Frank Norris, Dr. Jack Hiles, Lee Roberson. I listen to Brother Roloff, and I listen to the old generation. Say why? Because somebody my age doesn't know a whole lot more than I know. Sorry. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I better hurry up. No, so number one, follow the example and wisdom of the ones farther ahead. Number two, don't live looking back on your past.
If you live looking back on your past while everything's going this way, you're going to trip up. You're going to fall down. Too many of us live looking over our shoulder.
And you're going to mess your life up. You're going to live with regret. Can I tell you something? I am almost 50 years old. I have no regrets.
I don't regret one thing I've done. Now, there's some things I wished maybe I would have done more of. There's some things I wished I wouldn't have done. But I really have no regrets. Young people, listen to me. Not many preachers are going to tell you that about their life. I've been in church for almost 51 years, and I'm only going to be 50 years old. I went to church before I was born. My mom carried me to church, then hatched me, and I went to church in the nursery. Grew up in church in the nursery. Went to primary church, got saved when I was 4 or 5 years old. Stayed in church. Started soul winning. Got called to preach at 13. Started working on bus routes. Left high school. Went to Christian high school. Left high school. Went to Bible college. Kept preaching while I went through Bible college. I dated right. Married the right lady. Been married to her 27 and a half, almost 28 years. And can I tell you what? If I had to do all over again, I'd do the very same thing I did with the very same people I did it with.
Amen.
There's some places I wouldn't send you now because they've changed. But I would go back and do the very same thing. I don't have any regrets. First church we worked at in California. I was there only 2 years because it was changing and nobody knew it. But I don't regret the time I had in that church. I made the right decision. I followed the advice of my pastor. By the way, when things got tough, my pastor called me. I didn't call him. My wife will tell you, I was sitting in my office one morning and the phone rang and it was Irma McKinney said, "Brother Bush, this is Irma McKinney. Brother Hyde's like to talk to you. Could you hold, please?" Yes. I was 24 years old. About 20, 30 seconds later, I heard this, "Craig, this is Brother Hiles." my soul. "Yes, sir." I scared death. He said, "Craig, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this about where you're at. One question, do you want to stay?" That's exactly what the conversation was. I said, "Preacher, it's not a matter of me wanting to stay. I can't. If I stay and I'm loyal to my principles, I'll be disloyal to the pastor. If I'm loyal to the pastor, I'll be disloyal to my principles, and I'm not changing the principles that I live by for him, for you, or for anybody else." And I thought, why did you tell Brother Hiles that? I thought, oh man, I just sealed my doom. He said, "All right, I'll help you." He said, "We need to get you out of there." I said, "May I ask you one question?" He said, "Sure." I said, "How did you know?" He said, "Doesn't matter. I know." He told me things my wife didn't know, but I did. I didn't tell my wife. We talked. He said, "Why don't you go home? Why don't you put your arms around your wife? Tell her Brother Hiles is going to help you get out of there." No lie crossed my heart. A few weeks later, we were going on vacation. We were flying to Minnesota to be with her family for a week. We're going to fly to Ohio and be with my family for a week and go back to California. I got through church on Sunday. We took the red eye from LAX to Minneapolis. Now, to go from Long Beach to LAX on the 405 freeway, no matter day or night, you're in a traffic jam. There's 12 or 14 lanes of traffic each direction. Okay? We called it the 405 parking lot. We literally flew all night long with a one-year or less than a one-year-old screaming on a DC-10. Oh, joy, oh, delight. May he come without us dying. Oh, my soul. I worked all day Sunday, flew all night Sunday night, got into Minneapolis, and then it's another 4 or 5 hour drive from there to where my in-laws live. But, oh, no, we got to stop and see Grandma Cox on the way. We got to stop and see this person along. We finally got in the next night about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon to my in-laws' place. They opened the door. The phone was ringing as the door opened up. My sister-in-law runs in and answers the phone, and she comes out and says, "Craig, it's for you." This was in the days before cell phones, just so you know. And it was one of my friends in Indiana who said, "Brother Hiles is looking for you." I said, "I left him the phone numbers from where I'm going to be at." He said, "Yeah, but Mrs. McKinney's on vacation. He can't find anything." I feel his pain. He said, "You're supposed to call him at such and such time tomorrow." I hadn't even gotten to my destination and the phone was ringing. Amen. While I was on vacation, he was working out us going to go to South Carolina. Can I tell you something? I followed the advice of an old man. I wouldn't trade any of that for anything. Now, listen to me very carefully. I don't live in regret. I don't regret being in South Carolina. I don't regret going into Anna and working with Brother Hiles. I don't regret moving here, working with Brother Owens and starting this church. And I'm done. You're stuck with me to the day I die. Either I kill you or you kill me, but we're going to be in this thing. Amen? Wait a minute. When you live looking in the past, you're going to live in doubt all the time. "Well, I wonder if I'm doing the right thing. Am I doing it? I don't know if I should or I don't know if I shouldn't." I don't live that way.
Amen.
When you're living going the right direction, you know what's right.
Yes, sir.
You'll live trying to please everybody and end up pleasing nobody.
Amen.
Boy, that's a true statement. You're going to live in disappointment. Can I tell you something? If your children are 18 or older, too late to be mommy and daddy. You're not going to rear them anymore. You can guide them, but you can't rear them. You're not mommy and daddy once they become adults. You might be their parent, but they don't have to listen to you. Hate to disappoint you. Good night. My dad's going to be old as Moses. He'll be 78 years old next month. I had to tell my dad this week, "No, you're not driving yourself to the hospital. The doctor said, don't do it. Let me take you there. I can do it myself." "I know you can, but just let me do it." I had to tell my dad what to do. That was not comfortable. There was times I had to say, "Dad, just let him do it." But can I tell you something? And I'm not trying to embarrass him. I've been in the hospital with a lot of people. My dad was one of the best patients you'll ever see in a hospital. He decided he was going to listen to them because they knew more than he knew about it. No lie. When we left, the nurse he had for 3 days looked at him and said, "Mr. Bush, can I hug you?" Him, not me. She hugged him twice and almost started crying. My wife and I were there. She said, "You've been the best patient we've had." I love this statement. "We just love having little old men like you here." I love that statement. I thought, can I get this on tape? I don't look at him as a little old man. He's still my dad. He doesn't act like a little old man. But may I say this? He was one of the best patients I've seen in the hospital. He did whatever they told him to do. He didn't fight them. Can I tell you something? I learn from watching somebody that's been through that. I may know a little bit, but every once in a while, time to shut your mouth and let somebody that knows more about it do something.
Amen.
Anybody doing all right?
Yes,
Number three, I gotta hurry. This one ought to excite you. God's the farthest one out.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to notice in Philippians 3:14, I press towards a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you what the standard is?
Kirsten, can you stand up and hold that for me for a second? Hold it real high, all right? Brother June, you stand up, face that way. Malachi, Asa, take your spot again.
Guess what we're supposed to be looking at?
That
one. Mm-hmm. And someday, Brother June's going to pass off the scene, and I'm going to take his place. Pass off the scene there for a second. You're going to step up. You're going to step up. There's going to be another one all the way back there. But that's what we're supposed to be following. You see, that's the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We follow those who have gone before us, who have lived it longer than us, so that we can get to where they are, to get to right there, to grab it. Thank you. You may have a seat.
We're not supposed to live looking in the past, because the past is ahead of us.
Yes, sir.
The past is not behind us. The past is ahead of us.
Amen.
And we're supposed to live looking ahead, not looking back. You know the best way for me to help Malachi is to stay on this path, following the right path the whole way. Make that path clear. Make that path sure. Make that path understandable so he knows exactly where he's following. There's times I ought to say, you ought to get in line, but if you don't get in line, I'm still going. I mean this with all the love and sincerity that I know how to say. Malachi, I love you. I want you to make it. But can I tell you something? Whether you make it or not, I'm going to make it.
Amen.
Asa, I want you to make it. I want you to follow. I want you to be in the right line. But can I tell you something? If you don't make it, I'm going all the way.
That's right. That's good.
Amen.
I don't give a flip who follows me. I want everybody to follow me that can so that we can get to the same goal at the end down there. If my children pass me up and able to do more along the path, praise the Lord. But if not, I'm still going ahead. If all my children make it, great. If they don't, that's great. I'm going to make it. Oh, press, push, do God's will, no matter who or what doesn't get in your way with you. Let me give you a quick blessing. And I'll show you what I mean. My son, Jeff. He's not the glowing star that everybody looks at and says, wow, that kid's going to, he's going to set the world on fire. He's shy. He's introverted. He's like my wife, not like me. He doesn't clamor for attention. But here's a kid that's going to be 22 years old next month, been working on a bus route as a layman in the church for Brother Fugit. Loves his bus route. Texted me this morning before Sunday school and said, Dad, I had 30 on the bus this morning.
Amen.
I got home this afternoon. He said, Dad, I've been working on this man. It's a bus dad. I've been working on him for over 6 months to come to church. He drove to church today. He's got three kids that rides our bus every week. He said, that man came to church today, and he's so excited he's driving back to church tonight. A little while later, my phone buzzed. It was Brother Fugit. He said, Brother Bush, he said, just thought you ought to know, Jeff introduced an adult man that he'd been working on for months to come to church. Thank God I got a young man reaching men. He said he introduced him to me. He was so excited he was there and got him to the preacher right away. He said, you've trained your kids to reach not just children, but to reach men. He's following your example. I don't deserve that, but I thank God my son's reaching men.
Amen.
Thank God my other son had 11 people in a Sunday school class this morning, started an adult Sunday school class a few weeks ago. Reaching men. Reaching adults. By the way, I'm for reaching children. You know that.
Yes, sir.
I'm for it. You know that. Those kids love me. I love watching my wife's class. They'll leave and go down the steps on Sunday mornings. I love you, preacher. Love you, preacher. Man, I love that. Oh, man, that just get me in there. Let me preach. Come on, man. That's one of the best things we've ever done. Let me hear them kids go, I love you, preacher, right before I preach. Some of you, it saved your hide. Didn't even know it. Can I tell you something? I'm hoping that I can wear the path big enough so that somebody can follow behind me. May I say this, if I don't make it all the way, you follow whether I make it or not.
That's good.
You follow whether I make it or not. Someday this preacher gets up and says that that's no longer the word of God. You don't follow me then. You follow what's at the end of the path. Say why? Because then I've changed paths. You get on the right path and follow it all the way. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on the things which are before. Can I tell you something? That's what Philippians 3:13 and 14 is all about. Quit living looking back that way. Keep living going that way. That's what God wants for your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A little bit of a tough truth. I'm sorry. Too many of us are living looking over our shoulder and we're going to crash. We live in regret. We live in doubt. We live in fear. We live in turmoil. You're looking the wrong direction. That's why. You're looking at the wrong people. That's why. Let's live Philippians 3:13 and 14 the right way. The altar's open, the piano begin to play. Many ought to be on their knees at this altar tonight. Use your chair where you're at, come to the altar, but if you need to make a decision tonight, you come. Many of you young people ought to get on your face before God. Some of you young families ought to follow somebody who's reared their kids all the way through. Some of you have divorced families. You young people that come from split homes, can I tell you something? Brother Heil's dad and mom divorced. Split up. He didn't do too bad. Everybody doing all right? You don't have to live wild just because your parents didn't live right. My mom and dad didn't have a good marriage, so I won't have one either, says who? Says who? You're following the wrong example. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth on the things which are before. Press toward the mark. Just remember, history's ahead of you, not behind you. We're looking the wrong direction. We're looking the wrong direction. That's why we live in a generation, everything's about the child. Can I tell you something? I hope to God President Trump cuts the education funding dramatically. We're spending way too much money for nothing. About time we put some struggle in education.
Yes.
And I hate to say this, and I'm for public teachers getting their salaries and things, but being a teacher was never a full-time job 12 months a year. It's an 8-month-a-year job. It's a part-time job. Growing up, every teacher in the world had a second job over the summer.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Every one of them. It was never intended. You'd be surprised. You cross the border into Virginia, most of those teachers are making over $100,000 a year. If you have more than 10 years tenure, you're making six figures in public education for an 8 month a year job. That's pretty good money if you work for 12 months. Well, they deserve it. We got highest attrition rate. Ungraduated kids can't read and write of any that we've ever had in history. We're ranked about 30th in the world in education. We're not first. I'm for education. But can I tell you something? Most of you couldn't read books because you'd have to have an encyclopedia or a dictionary next to you to people that were raised in a one-room schoolhouse. Do you know it wasn't until the 1900s that you had a president of the United States that didn't go to a one-room schoolhouse? I think Woodrow Wilson was the first one. I think. You don't have a better mind than they had. Ben Franklin went to a one-room schoolhouse. Jefferson, Washington, Adams, most of them didn't go past eighth grade, and they were taking college courses by the time they were in eighth grade. Guess it's not individualized education then, huh? We got to look ahead, not behind.